Okay, you can do this.
I know, I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
Why? Why is Sonic Drive-In in a topic? How many people are really discussing this? In terms of how many spaces have there been about the Sonic Drive-In?
Is it about the disappearance of the Sonic Drive-In? Because I have some thoughts. We're in a Sonic desert.
Is it disappearing?
The only one left within us remote driving distance is like the fake Sonic on Southmoreland.
DJ Wally Sparks, what is up?
Pride of Chattanooga.
The legend. I am not muted. I am good.
Good evening. That's why he said we're not the same person.
Oh, I thought, I'm sorry. Mm-mm. Hello, Podcat. I hope you're not too cold. I saw LSU had clam chowder by request on the sidelines. That's nice. Hope you got some of that. Nothing better than a delicious tankard of clam chowder.
I love drinking cream-based soup during vigorous activity.
That sounds like one of those things that people in the Tour de France used to do. Yeah, they take rat poison and arsenic, and then they would take some red wine, and then they drink a gigantic thing of chowder.
Wait, what was the arsenic for?
Yeah, and then a Belgian man would knock him off the horse with a 2x4. A horse in the Tour de France, you say. That's just how bad the cheating was. What's up, SEC Stat Cat? prescient as always in your predictions, in your statistical analyses today.
I'm a Stat Cat.
I really love the pitch for that song. What is the main idea of this song? I am
the
Scat.
Thesis?
I am the Scat Cat.
The thesis is Me Llamo Scat Cat.
Supporting evidence. B bop boop ba doop ba.
Please cite your sources. If the Scat Man can do it, so can you. I did tell one person that there's no After Dark tonight, but that's what you get for saying no full cast After Dark tonight. In the same tone of the people who read your top 25 list and they're like, no school that clearly isn't on this list? ?
I'm sorry, you only have Ohio State at one?
I don't want to talk about Ohio State.
Oh, boy, I don't either. I'm going to talk about Maryland.
You know, it's great. We don't have to. hang on. Before we really get rolling, I have to find the person who... because I don't think it's somebody we've shouted out on the show before.
All right.
Okay, it was Jamie. It was Jamie Pilot, mm-hmm. At the Pilot, or Pilote, however you're pronouncing this. Just watching Arkansas lose the Auburn job for two coaches in one season.
It's amazing, man.
God, that's beautiful. We're so happy for you.
That's so beautiful. All right, let's light this candle.
Full Cast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the Full Cast After Dark. Thank you for joining the internet's only late night recap show for the week that was in college football. I am Spencer Hall. Joining us, Jason Kirk, Holly Anderson, and a cavalcade of talented, beautiful listeners, including, among others, I see Matt Scalici from lateofal.com. I just say that because you to me, sir, were one of the gateway drugs for al.com. I always appreciated that. Adam Kramer.
He doesn't know where you work now. He has absolutely no idea.
I'd have to look it up, but yes. Podcat, who was freezing in the cold climes of Baton Rouge. And I just saw a gigantic pot of gumbo in my timeline. Thank you so much for that.
Podcat.
also joining us, the Big Sky Conference. A big day for the Big Sky. Our day got started with game day in, of all places, Bozeman, Montana, where my favorite moment was somebody rubbing Kirk Herbstreit's feet because they were cold.
Wait, that wasn't a joke?
No, they were rubbing his feet.
Oh, gross.
They're freezing.
A person was doing this?
A person. Yeah, I think that was a person rubbing his feet.
Like a person had to do this.
Yes, you know who wasn't? The strong like bear Chris Felica. That's right. Who had a good coat and some gloves. That was enough to keep him warm. Strong of heart, strong of stat, Chris Felica.
Wait, was Kirk cold because he was cosplaying? Because I saw his outfit.
Kirk had the Indiana Jones outfit, or as Wes Blankenship called it, the Ohio Jones outfit going on.
I like whoever, I'm sorry, I don't remember who this tweet was now, but I saw it described as dressed like the kind of people Kevin Costner is trying to keep out of Yellowstone.
Hey, that's a nice ranch you got there. Be a shame if somebody tried to steal it. Dum dum dum. Yellowstone season 9 and 8.
I said this morning on the Channel 6 space, but I really cannot encourage everybody enough to watch the first 3 episodes of Yellowstone and then quit.
It's a show with a body count that's akin to some actual wars.
The body count goes way down after the first 3 episodes, which is why I'm telling you to quit after the first 3 episodes, because the longer the show has gone on, the more it seems that they have gotten the idea that they are prestige television. They're not. It is weekly ranch murder. And if they had kept it up like that way, and one of Kevin Costner's adult children had murdered someone every single week and he had to cover it up, that's a program I would watch. But unfortunately, they chose a different direction.
Yeah, that's the show where they have a cliff that they throw bodies off of, and it's introduced as a prominent plot point in like the first 2 episodes.
Like, it's a spot that everybody knows about.
Yeah, this is where we throw all the bad people. Then nobody ever asks about it ever again.
Pile of bodies at the bottom of a trail. Yada hoo, yada hey. What are the high diddle? I can't do Frankie Lane. I'm trying to do High Noon and I can't quite get there. My voice won't go deep enough.
Jason. Jason, where would you want to start in terms of things I saw and things I beheld today?
I think there's sort of an overall theme to the day. I mentioned a couple weeks ago in one group chat or another that this today had Blood Week potential, which is a rare thing to see coming in advance. Mm. And then the scores throughout the day bore out that potential. As always, if you have to ask, it is not yet. But we were very, very close to it, like the entire top 5 look like ass. Number 5 looked the most ass, but the entire, you know, playoff picture was in danger for large portions of the day. One thing I want to sort of one PSA for the readership is we don't need every Saturday to be like almost a Blood Week, that type of thing, because that is every Saturday in college football. It either is or it isn't. And it wasn't, but it almost was. But it was very nearly an extremely special Saturday. And it ended up being pretty nice, entertaining. USC, UCLA was wonderful. South Carolina did things no one would have ever imagined South Carolina doing against anyone. Yeah, special day, and it sets up a very entertaining close to the season. That's the overall gist of things, I think.
Boo! No.
Spencer, are you still here?
I am back in. I believe I am here back in and good. Had to restart the space, but I think I'm good.
That was what we just had there was me filibustering while Spencer reconnected, I think.
That was excellent. Yeah, that was excellent. This was one of those I think we get these the edging weekend, the weekend of edging.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
that's definitely what it was. Where you just get a bunch of weird shit happening.
UCLA was the grand explosion at the end.
UCLA was like, that was fun. Let's never tell anyone we did any of this.
Fortunately, it's the Rose Bowl, so there aren't going to be that many witnesses.
We put on our special uniforms we only wear once a year for each other.
Hey, dude, have you ever had sex in public? Yeah, I did it at a UCLA home game. Yeah, nobody saw that. It's fine. That's not public.
That's not public.
Yeah.
That's just fine. Outdoors.
I feel like there were a lot of...
It's not public. It's just outdoors.
I mean...
Is this tickle?
There were a lot of really perverse things that happened today that didn't really add up to that much, but were still very weird. For instance, just pulling randomly, you know, a team that everyone loves and loves to watch every week, Iowa, Minnesota. Mo Ibrahim had 263 yards rushing and lost because it was 13-10 and because we're playing Iowa football where the numbers don't matter and the scores are all made up. Yeah, he had 263 yards and he lost. That sucks, man.
Iowa, which won on a defensive score. Do I have that right? I mean, they always do. But
that's correct.
Something like that. They won on a field goal. Perfect.
Jesus.
That's what you want.
Yeah. That wasn't the most exciting field goal of the day for me, because the thing that I wanted to talk about...
It's either that or the other one. It's really close.
It's really close.
Call.
No. I want to talk about the deep fuckery that was TCU Baylor.
Oh, man.
The most TCU shit of this season, which is saying a lot.
In an extremely TCU-ful slate of events.
TCU week in and week out lets their opponent get all their shit in before TCU just activates comeback mode. The cardiac frogs... No, that's terrible. But yeah, this was the pinnacle of TCU behavior for the season. Mm-hmm. The most bullshit team of the year, said with all affection, and they trotted out their bullshittiest.
We love it, folks.
And I'm not sure they'll be topping it. And I don't think that'll be any sort of a letdown for them. A fire drill field goal.
Uh-huh.
To put away their arch rival.
Yeah.
Did you see Sonny after?
Yeah. After they scampered onto the field and kicked through the field goal and Sonny Dykes has approached, Coach, did that feel frantic? Nah. Sonny Dykes, somebody said that was a breakfast taco ass answer.
So just to give you the sequence, if you didn't see it, I will take it back. It is 1:34 on the clock in the fourth quarter, and due to some extreme stupidity, a missed extra point that was a doink, not just a, oh, he missed it. No, I mean the kind of kick that feels like an indictment of everything the kicker's ever done in his life, like donk, off, and we get chasing points and some weird scoring, and we get to Baylor 28, TCU 26, with 1 minute and 34 seconds left on the clock. It's a process type situation where it feels like the fine analytical mind of Dave Aranda, Holly, I want to discuss that thing we talked about with Dave right after this, so don't let me forget it. How Dave is going to get over this
loss.
Okay.
Yep.
So, minute 34 left on the clock. Undefeated TCU is facing their first loss of the season. And Max Duggan takes off like he's not the most inspiring scrambler in the world. He scrambles like somebody who knows how dangerous it is. That's the best part, the best way I can describe it. Like scootin', Jason, I think is the word for it. If we say, whoo, scootin', he's definitely doing some scootin'.
Let's say he's Duggan.
That's correct. He is Duggan down the field. They get to the clock is winding. They get to first and 10 at the Baylor 29 after a first down stops the clock. And TCU, coached by pass-happy Sonny Dykes, who I once watched coach an entire season at Cal without calling a run. Don't look that up. It's statistically sound. He runs. They run for 3 yards to the 26. Yeah, and then they run, and the clock is going, and it's still going, and on 3rd and 7, they run again, and that's where you have 17 seconds. Now, Booger McFarland said a team needs 16 seconds. That says 17 seconds on the clock. I will tell you, listeners, it did not feel like 16 seconds. Not at fucking all. It felt like they actually started to get the field goal unit with 12 out there, at least. There was like three or four seconds of, is that what Sonny's going to do? Shit! And everyone starts immediately trying to run out. They get out there. The holder nearly wipes out the kicker on the way to the setup. He does the, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, Earl Hebner slide in on his belly to make a tap, right? To do a count in a professional wrestling match where he slides, like, 10 feet into the ring. That's what it looked like, right? That's how the holder came in. He takes the snap, and Sonny Dykes made the nigh-unpardonable sin of settling for a 40-yard field goal with a college kicker with an undefeated season on the line and no timeouts, and realistically about 12 seconds to get it off, and they did it. This is the stupidest team. I love them so much. This is the dumbest shit. I hope they keep doing it the whole time. All of the Chaos Emeralds forfeited by Les Miles at LSU have been found and taken to Fort Worth, Texas.
You know, now you know this was a makeup call, too, on their part. I mean, a makeup call by the coaches for punting from, what, the 37?
Yeah, this was the most...
Remember we said aloud, we're like, what is Sonny doing? And then I think he was holding a Chaos Emerald in reserve. Because he's like, they'll give me an extra Chaos Emerald just for doing, like, the most Iowa thing.
Yeah.
Right? So he dug himself a little hole that he could put the explosive in so that he wouldn't blow his fingers off at the end of the game there. I call that foresight.
Yeah, he punted at one point from, let's see.
Say it was the 37. It might have been worse.
Is the Baylor 40? They at one point punted from the Baylor 49. No, this is the one we're talking about.
No, that was worse.
No, he punted at the Baylor from the Baylor 37, and it was downed at the Baylor 13.
That one.
He was doing some David Shaw type shit.
No, by the way, hey, all was revealed. Because yeah. What type of shit did David Shaw's team do?
Stanford kicked a field goal to make it 27-20 at the end of the game.
Ding. Wait. What do you mean? When you say to make it 27-20?
Yeah, it was.
Which 20... end of that score was Stanford?
Stanford was 20.
There we go.
Stanford kicked a field goal, you know, to keep it close.
Yeah, I love the admission that, well, we could go for a Hail Mary type thing, make the score look pretty nice, but come on, man, we're Stanford. touchdown's not in the cards. Field goal's possible. It did make the game hit the over. If you bet a Stanford Cal over, you're a fucking pervert. What's wrong with you?
That's true. I am a degenerate.
Don't want to hear if you got beat on this one, because we don't want to hear about what you've been doing with the rest of your day. You fucking sicko.
David, I mean, David Shaw had to know that was funny, right? Like, he had to know.
Absolutely. David Shaw funny?
No. This is, okay, are you familiar with the term icebox laugh?
No.
I don't think so.
This is an old comedian thing. Steve Martin has a great little scene about this in one of his plays that I will not bore you with here, but it's something that doesn't seem funny at the time, but at home, when you get at home and it's midnight, and you're like rummaging through the fridge for something to eat, and you're standing there in just the dark and the light of the fridge door, and you think about it again, and you're like, that is an icebox laugh.
So is it akin to, like, this sounds like a deathbed laugh where you're like, I didn't pay the gas bill this month.
Exactly the same thing. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
is you. That okay?
Yep.
That's where we put dead people. What? Is in the icebox.
Yeah,
I think my thing is imagining what David Shaw thinks is funny. Like, what is mirthful to David Shaw? Has the man ever laughed in his life?
He's like, compound interest.
Chortling.
Chortling.
It's free real estate. No.
Hearty chuckle.
I just realized I have no idea what David Shaw sounds like.
It kind of sounds like that.
I just assume that he sounds like Sam the Eagle from The Muppets.
he is, as a football coach doing an interview in any capacity, the least interesting man on earth. That is it.
It's very chill to listen to.
It's very chill. It is basically like one of those podcasts that helps you sleep by just saying soothing, easy things until you fall asleep.
Maybe that's a career move for him.
Update, by the way, and one of some import, at least to those of us who absolutely love Utah's bare knuckle style of football. I heard Kyle Whittingham on game day saying things like, "Hey, this game's going to be a street fight, boys. And you know what? If I got to get in a street fight, my money's on you every time, guys." Well, the street fight is happening. And
Kyle Whittingham is so at odds with what I think of as Utah culture.
Yeah, well.
Because, like, a street fight in Utah, like, what, outside the malt shop? But Kyle Whittingham says street fight, and I'm like, oh, you're hitting someone with a plate from the gym.
Yeah, yeah. You're beating someone up outside a frozen yogurt place.
Unfortunately, he's in a street fight with Bo Nix.
Wait, which Bo Nix? Which Bo Nix we got?
We got
flavor
good Bo tonight.
We got tonight?
Bo is 16 for 21 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're in West Coast Bo Nix. This is the harmonically balanced Bo Nix, who is currently
Man,
kicking
what time
some ass.
Is it? You can't say that kind of shit today.
Yeah.
Don't you put that devil on Bo.
Yeah, but Bo Nix currently beating some ass and reestablishing Oregon's backbone that Utah has ripped out in two games prior to this.
Yeah.
In terrible fashion. They're leading Utah 17-3. You get your pride back, boys.
Looks like we are closing in on an Oregon USC Pac-12 title game, I believe.
Yeah.
Assuming Utah doesn't pour it on in the second half, which is always possible. Still Oregon's defense we're referring to here.
Entirely possible. I wanted to talk about another shootout. That would be Georgia-Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Just like we drew it up.
The game where Georgia scored 16 points and somehow had the best showing of any top five team on the day. That's the state of things.
Also, despite that, Fox is still... And I don't think this is because of that. I'm pretty sure that they had made this weight up in advance. But Fox, during the USC-UCLA game, is still running a Heisman graphic that does not have Stetson Bennett in it. Why are we pretending like we don't know how this is going to end?
Denial is a powerful thing.
We're still doing it.
At this point, I acknowledge Caleb Williams might win.
That'd be amazing.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's deserved. Granted, it's fair and all.
Yeah.
But,
Caleb Williams himself, though, had the best rebuttal to this because they immediately asked him after the game, you know, what do you have to say to those Heisman voters? And he was like, oh, I don't care about all that. And then just, like, I'm not paraphrasing. I'm pretty sure that's a direct quote. He said, I don't care about all that. And went on to talk about how great it was to win this with his team.
Well, that's lovely. That's the kind of thing Heisman voters like to hear, isn't it, Spencer?
Ironically, yes, it is. But I'm like, I choose to believe that he was speaking out against the silliness of the graphic.
Genuine Heisman apathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should just give it to Stetson. Just going to go ahead and say that.
I mean,
just will and should are two very different things.
I think it's acceptance is an important is a powerful thing.
I mean, look, we've all learned in the past couple of years what happens when you don't have regular mail service.
I would point out
Stetson Bennett provides essential goods and services.
He's no longer the mailman. Due to a Georgia Dairy Council endorsement, he has decided to use the mailman nickname to become the postman.
Mm. Oh, changing his pronouns, huh?
You know, there's going to be a lot of Georgia fans who are suddenly in favor of mail-in ballots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also in favor of defining man. Tisk.
So, Stetson Bennett and the Georgia Bulldogs against Kentucky, the over-under for this game was 47.5 points.
Ambitious.
Then what?
They mustered 22 points combined in a 16-6 nail biter.
On a day when I think it was four Big Ten games had no one crossed 20 points, and apparently that's the first time in Big Ten history that's happened. It's special shit when the Big Ten is out Big Ten-ing everyone. Well, not to be overlooked is the Georgia Bulldogs, the most Big Ten team in the country, apparently.
I thought it was showy of Georgia to try and steal thunder from another league. They should be happy with their position in the conference that they hold.
It's a quiet, stately, reserved thunder.
It's reverse diva behavior is what it is, and I don't feel like we should encourage it.
These
legendarily showboating me first Georgia Bulldogs.
Did anything happen in this game?
Absolutely not.
Stetson Bennett overthrew Darnell Washington, something that I didn't think was actually possible.
Will got hurt again and came back again. I don't actually know what his legs are made of at this point.
Will Levis did the most Will Levis thing, which was he dropped back, threw an absolute laser, like a bullet, into coverage, and Gary Danielson began to rhapsodize about how magnificent he was. And then he threw, I believe, a pick.
While Gary was still talking about the previous pass, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why he's a first. That's not a good decision, Will. Yeah, it was. He was trying to hit the gap between the corner and the safety in a cover two, and he missed it by about 3 yards. So full Will Levis experience. Love that dude.
I think there's a more exciting game in the SEC, one that we should probably turn to next, because, folks, we are joined by a very special guest in the Twitter space. The Arkansas Razorbacks are here.
Woo-wee!
Oh, you tune in.
Oh, I woke up the dog.
You tune in to hear about some womping. And let me tell you.
They know what that, they're here for.
That's what. I'm going to give you what you want. You come in. You come in for the womping. We're going to give you some womping, okay? Like I said, sometimes the scoreboard ain't show it. But we're going to give you some womping. And then on nights like this, against the Ole Miss Rebels, sometimes the scoreboard's going to hella show it. Sometimes the scoreboard's going to ooze it.
Y'all go back to the big city of Oxford and think on your sins.
Mm-hmm. That's what... You know,
this is Think on Your Sins Saturday.
Big Sam gets all the kids in the freaky church van. He says, we're going to go to Costco.
The freaky church van.
Yeah, you know, when I say the freaky church van, by the way, I mean the one that
is
has
the van. Is freaky modifying church or van?
Yeah,
van.
Same question.
It's the van.
Like, so this church has multiple vans. One of them's freaky?
Yeah, it's the super... The
freaky
super...
like haunted or freaky like sexual?
Yeah, same question for me.
Well, I wasn't going to say either, but haunted appeals to me,
Arkansas,
so I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Arkansas football van sex ghost haunted.biz.
Haunted Arkansas van. It has the extended seats, right? Like it's the van that has the extra seats.
Well,
it's like
for the ghosts? It's not a sex van without them.
For the sex ghosts?
It's for the ghosts, yes. And we're taking all the ghosts. We're going to go...
Jerry Jones is somewhere like, go on.
Yeah, we're going to go down to Sam's Club. We're going to get the extra huge economy-sized pallet of Walton.
Spencer, why do they call it Sam's Club?
They call it Sam's because that's Sam Walton's club. Because it's because
so
it's Sam
close.
Adams,
that
the great patriot.
Shape.
No,
that
it's
is
Sam.
Shape,
because it belongs to Sam Pittman. That's why.
That's what Ole Miss is Sam's Club now.
That's right.
Folks,
you need
don't
a card
call
to
it
get.
Old make.
You want your dignity back? That's aisle 7. But I need to see a membership card first.
Seriously, Razorbacks, before you get afraid for your job and log out here, I have one request. Please, for the entire rest of the season, and I'm aware that the regular season ends next week. Please, for the entire rest of the season, post those thirst trap video. Do a bunch of those thirst trap videos like they do of Lane, but do it with Sam Pittman. Give this big man some love. Let him be a fashion icon.
Also, by the way, I don't know, Arkansas is listening to this, and you know you can't do this. I'm pretty sure there's no direct way to do this. Can you make sure somebody writes a very large check to Rocket Sanders? What I would like you to do as a football program is to go up to one of your big old yahoos, and by that I mean Jerry Jones, and be like, Jerry, cut the check. And he'll be like, woohoo! And he'll just
if
write
we
like
could
a...
Do it, if we had the means, we would do it ourselves at this point.
So...
out of tonight,
Jerry. You tell them all about the sex bus, and then one thing leads to another, and the student athletes are properly compensated.
Jerry's like, these ghosts, are they shapely? Yeah, shapely, sir.
Yes, are these buxom ghosts? I slid into Mac Brown there for a second, and we will slide into Mac Brown
Speaking
later.
About sliding into, okay, thank you.
Georgia Tech done. Yes, did a little bit of that.
Georgia Tech beat UNC.
What a night! I'm emotionally exhausted.
Man, in a season with numerous interim coaches achieving great things.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Tech's Brent Key is out here. What defeated two ranked teams, including a team that have they clinched that terrible division? Who knows? It doesn't really matter. But Georgia Tech just fucking everything up.
Yeah, that's great. That's absolutely magnificent.
You have multiple actual Georgia Tech fans in your immediate family, do you not?
Yeah, I do. I was raised one.
Yeah, how was this evening in the Kirk household?
I would assume it was enjoyed. No one in my house participates, but I assume in other Kirk households, it was greatly enjoyed. This team is now 5-6 overall, and it could finish. It looks like second in the division.
Yeah,
just like tremendous. We geared up.
Tremendous.
And if they win next week, they're going to be bowl eligible. Jason, who do they play next week?
Probably no one all that important, I would guess.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Usually you want to go home with a go home with something palatable on the schedule. They have to play. I mean, they play Georgia. Is that bad?
Lock
Georgia
in
only
those
scored 16 points today.
Lock in those bowl bets, those risk-free bets today for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
DraftKings.
Add DraftKings.
Spawn. Hashtag spawn.
Hashtag spawn. Drake May. They made Drake May look pedestrian. Drake May, was 16 for 30, 202. No TDs and an interception. This is a dude who was mentioned for some of those shiny awards. And the lowly Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets beating ass under interim coach Brent Key just made him look like Anthony Richardson without the wheels, man. This is not good.
Damn.
Yeah.
Do you think Lane pulling a Mac Brown on Nick Saban in their recent meeting destabilized the crystalline structure of actual Mac Brown?
Yeah, I think we're dealing with a rapidly. I think we're dealing with a rapidly.
If you're a geologist, sound off in the comments.
We're saying Mac Brown. Are we describing Mac Brown at Mac Brown as something like a disintegrating space station at UNC, just slowly reentering the atmosphere?
Well, he sure is full of hot air. Oh! I'm thinking a lot about killing myself.
Yeah. So good. We don't have to think about UNC. I only say that because they don't belong in a playoff discussion, and no error of scheduling or math is going to make that real for me. So good. Thank you, Georgia Tech. You saved us all some trouble. Appreciate you.
And that's our show.
That's
further
the whole thing.
Trouble was saved. The states of Carolina elsewhere.
Let's go.
There is a scenario that we have discussed for several weeks in which a team could have stumbled and fumbled its way into the playoff without winning its division. The most threatening of those scenarios is now off the table because South Carolina has defeated Tennessee, which the main things to know from this game is Spencer Rattler is suddenly the best football player in the world. And Tennessee's orange helmets.
I fucking told y'all. I said it.
They're probably not going to wear those again.
That's the good thing. That's the good news. We're never going to see those fucking helmets again.
They're really ugly. So.
Not as ugly as what they did while wearing them.
Yeah.
Seems those things went hand in hand.
All right. No, Spencer, clear out. Just let me have it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I meant like just, you know, empty the barrels.
I
know you don't want me to talk. I'm just gonna cuss.
It's just that every now and then you decide to wake up and have a day, and the universe is like, no, that's not happening. And that's what happened to Tennessee. All the bad things happen. You cannot convince me that this is a normal game because Spencer Rattler went for 438 and 6 TDs. This after I know he listened to Thinking Out Loud, where we suggested that South Carolina was having
Oh my God, Richard did this. Richard's fault.
We suggested that the punter.
You didn't suggest it. Richard said this out loud in words.
Well, and so did I. The punter for South Carolina against Florida last week had as good a day as Spencer Rattler, which by the numbers is true. And Spencer Rattler's family had an issue with this. With math. You know, not the only people who have issue with math, but they had issue with that math in particular. And so
that's weird. Spencer Rattler, for the record, is the originator of the Alexa play "What About Now" by Lone Star meme. And he shook off that mantle tonight with alacrity. Tennessee is missing Jeremy Banks. Yes, Jeremy Banks is the best player on Tennessee's defense. No, Tennessee's defense is not good, but that doesn't really explain the entire gap, including but not limited to, once again, Columbia is a hellmouth. Hendon Hooker going down with the sequence of events on camera make it look as though the non-contact knee injury that Hendon Hooker suffered caused his fumble. Like, his knee did something that hurt so bad that the ball flew out of his hands. I don't know if that's actually what happened, but the sequence of events on film is knee goes sideways, ball flies out of hand. Like, Columbia turf monsters have tentacles. This is terrifying. Anyway, hey, remember that time I said I was only scared of two teams and they were Kentucky and South Carolina?
Yeah.
This isn't why. This is not. I was scared of like dick tripping in this game, but I was not contemplating something like this. This is way worse. This is way worse, and it's okay to let it hurt. I don't want to get too Ted Lasso about it because now that's a popular thing to do, and I don't want to look like a tryhard. But I think that Josh Heupel had absolutely the correct attitude after the game. He's like, "Yeah, I really hope this hurts on the way home." I'm like, "Oh, good, okay." I hope that it hurts too, because there were not enough logical, everything that Tennessee was missing and injured last night did not add up to the sum total of what we saw of like the performance that we put on, which does mean that I get to blame the helmets, but still.
Yeah.
So be mad tonight. You should be mad tonight. This should not feel good. But also, if you had told me at the beginning of the season that I was looking at a potential, that I was looking at very minimum at a 9-1 Tennessee team that had beaten Florida, LSU, and Bama, okay. Like, be mad tonight, but tomorrow I hope the attitude, if you feel bad about this, I hope the attitude you have tomorrow is, what are you really mad about, man? We're out so far over our skis already. And have only lost two bloody teeth so far. Keep the gas down.
And I think the main thing is now you don't have to play Georgia again.
Oh, thank Christ!
You get to do a regular bowl game.
We got a good bowl, man.
You go to a bowl game, and you go to a bowl game that people will forget 3 days after it happened. You go to the playoff, and everyone remembers you lost to Georgia twice in the same season.
Mm-hmm. Also, now we don't have to potentially play Michigan in the playoffs, and that would be a terrible house divided situation for the full cast itself.
Well,
and surely tear us all apart.
I would really like your odds there, because my sole basis on predicting what Michigan would or wouldn't do against Tennessee would be betting against the results of another game that they had against a team in orange. They struggled.
It's a weird
badly.
It's a, like, that's the other reason I can't really feel bad about my team being the ones to catch it in the dick.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going around some days. It is just going around.
It was after it was like everyone else spent the mulligans and like the the cats ran out of lives, and Tennessee was left holding the stick.
Tennessee was holding the stick. Illinois very nearly took the stick.
Illinois was the stick.
They were the stick. Like the Tommy DeVito.
Brett Bielema was like, "That's my stick." that's my scratching stick.
Gameplay today.
It's like penis.
Yeah. So it's the stick and stick. That's what we're gonna do. Gonna stick Michigan with it.
Brett Bielema met his wife at a blackjack table. Never ever ever forget. That's not a diss. That is not a diss.
Not at all. Just picked it right up, man. Blake Corum injured in this game. His status for the big game is TBD. He did walk away from his injury eventually, but nobody's real sure what's going on. So J.J. McCarthy kind of looked a little bit like a liability at times, missing some easy passes that were super open. So usual Michigan stuff. Fortunately, Illinois was all down to turn this into a headbutting contest. And a headbutting contest is exactly the kind of thing that Jim Harbaugh really enjoys. So they did manage to pull this out with a game-winning field goal. Again, if you wanted peak Big Ten this week, whew, you got you some peak Big Ten. Game-winning field goals all over the place.
Wait, I've been told that we triggered at least one person's Alexa to actually start playing Lone Star.
What about now?
I didn't know I could do this. Oh, shit. I'm definitely not going to use this for evil.
Do it.
Alexa, play Sandstorm. It's only fair. Hey, listen, we all know that I'm a absolutely terrible winner, but I am a gracious loser. I make up for it by being a horrible fucking winner.
Also on the docket today, by the way, of some interest, I just want to point out that the only time I looked up and I saw Notre Dame Boston College is I looked up and it was 37-0 in a driving snowstorm for Boston College.
You ever feel like the evidence is mounting over the past few years about what kinds of people God is choosing to test and what kinds of people he's choosing to reward?
Yeah.
I like the Jesuits as those things go.
Yeah.
Why'd you have to do the Jesuits like that?
They couldn't even look at their beloved space because of all the snow.
Yeah, you were betwixt them and the cosmos. Come on.
How it's got to suck if you're from Boston. You live in Boston. They're like,
well, yeah, for one. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yes. But also, hey, we're going to go on a road trip.
We get to leave. We're going to North Indiana.
We're going to North Indiana. And it's going to be spitting snow the entire time.
Just angry. That snow looked mad. It did not look soft.
Then you have to go home to Boston.
Pointy snow.
It's rough, BC. That's all I'm saying. It's rough, and I respect it.
Yeah, Boston sports fans, they've been through a lot. They've been through so many hard times.
They're the only people who've ever been through anything.
Yeah, I go to school in Boston.
That was
a charitable joke.
Most of the teams that I love suffered badly, and my friend's team suffered badly.
What other team that you love suffered badly?
Florida lost to Vanderbilt.
Ew.
Yeah, no, that's the thing that happened.
You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, no.
I don't think you should do that. That's great for you.
I agree.
Lost to Vanderbilt, and the one of the deciding scores ended up being a long snapper recovering a muffed punt in the end zone.
Uh-huh.
That was a mad lib.
A dude with a jersey number of 47
correct
scored a winning touchdown against the Florida mm-hmm. Gators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, good for him, man. That's the way to go. That's how you're going to do it. They also did have a field storming, but it was like the slowest field storming anybody had ever seen. Like, okay, hold on. Let me get down there.
It was a field shuffling.
Was it like, is this even worth storming the field for? Was it that kind of energy?
Yeah, there's just somebody in the booth at Vandy who's like, we're not going to write the check.
It was very
no!
We're going to get demerits for this.
Like, yeah, you beat a team called the Florida Gators, but they're what, 6-5? Is that right?
Six and five. Vandy is 5-6. 5.
Oh,
and
no. Oh,
six.
No.
So Vandy needs bowl eligibility
no.
next week.
Vandy
oh, no.
Vandy's one got more game for bowl eligibility.
Oh, no. Shit.
See, all that stuff about, like, if you told you at the beginning of the year you could be in this place, all
yep.
that could go
yep.
away fast.
I'm clinging. I'm clinging to it. You're weighing down the raft. Go ahead and drown.
I
at least this feeling is familiar.
My favorite thing about Vandy pulling off the win, other than a dude with jersey number 47 getting a
yeah.
touchdown, is now Vandy is going to finish ahead of A&M in the SEC.
Yes, that's all that matters. That's what we're here for. We're just
preseason.
Helping. We're helping the jokes.
Numerologist, if you're out there, please figure out if this is the most points ever scored by someone wearing this jersey number in a college football game. That shouldn't be too hard.
We also have,
the,
Jason, I just want to mention one more thing it related to that game. For you haters out there who say that they wasted money by paying Jimbo Fisher $95 million to coach your football team, Texas A&M 20, UMass 3. That's
yeah.
right. I expect letters of apology to be written to one.
He
Jimbo,
basically
Jim-
beat the founding fathers.
They were uh-huh. they were favored by 35, and they got halfway there.
Oh God!
Against the worst team in FBS, like the resounding consensus worst team in FBS. It was at 1.3-3 for far longer than it should have been. Honestly, it felt like it was 10-3 for about 4 hours. That's not accurate, but. It
no,
sure
but
felt like it.
It's an emotional truth, and we traffic in those here.
There was a long period when the most exciting thing in the stadium was Aggie dudes in jeans. Just random white boys running around the upper deck playing relay race with a towel or something. And it went on a long time. It went on for like an hour until ESPN's cameras even got bored enough to start commentating on it. At which point they were discussing whether they're like,
are y'all a polycule?
They're like light blue, like stonewashed jeans. One of the announcers said, yeah, that's the color you want if you're running around in 40 degree rain. That was the most exciting thing that happened. It's the best thing A&M has done all season. And that's really not even a joke. It just is. So yeah, it's almost done, A&M. It's almost done.
Almost over. Yeah,
one more game to lose, and then you can start firing coordinators and stuff.
Alexa, play "Throw Mama from the Train." I don't actually have Alexa because I don't trust microphones in my home. I'm just, I have Instagram. Shut up.
It sounds
I'm just
like
doing this for the rest of y'all.
I think technically, at this point, you have like a distributed botnet of Alexas.
This is great. We should do this for something worse, though.
I also want to talk about the other most important matchup of the night. It's one that we haven't discussed, and I don't think you'll hear discussed on any other college football show, and that would be the Trios match in AEW Full Gear, the pay-per-view. Yeah.
Joker Penta.
Yes. Yes. If you didn't see it, it was spectacular, and the Triangulo de Muerte... ended up prevailing, even though Rey Fénix had to end the match by hitting a man in the head with a tiny hammer. And he felt real guilty about it. It was great. He hit a man. He knocked the dude out to win the match. And he immediately began displaying anguish that he had done it. It's my second favorite wrestling thing. My first favorite being somebody scampering away with the belt after they
Nyla.
Stole it off somebody. Right?
Nyla doing this amazing... That was previously on, but... Nyla did an amazing skitter. Like, you could actually hear the cartoon. Like, you could hear the cartoon pizzicato in the background, though. Like, bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Right?
Yes.
No?
This was a big W for Death Triangle, with the Elite returning from the CM Punk thing that we discussed on an episode, like, months ago.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I was really
this
glad
was
I had that background.
This was Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, their first match back, and you would expect them to win, you know, triumphantly in their big return. But no, not only did they go down to, you know, did they lose to one of the best three-man tag teams in all of wrestling, the crowd was on Death Triangle's side.
That's right.
Despite like three of the most popular wrestlers in the company coming back, that was pretty great. Like the crowd was like, no, y'all, it's great you're back, but you kind of have to, you know, earn your way back to the top. And then AEW announced, oh, you like that match? Well, it turns out it was the first of a best of seven. You're going to see this once a week for the next 2 months.
Honestly, I don't hate it.
And the reaction I saw everywhere was like, holy shit, that's a lot, but okay.
Yeah, sure.
I'll watch all seven.
Sure. We've done worse. It also gave me an idea for a new, on a night of announcing innovations elsewhere, where we had our beloved, I just realized their name is literally Rogers and Hart. How has Disney not done anything with that? On a night of other announcing innovations, I would like to propose what one of our Twitter followers called a masked man in every booth. And the message for this, the method of this is very simple. You take an announcing team, any announcing team, all announcing teams. So let's go with Kirk and Chris. Keep them exactly as they are. Change absolutely nothing about what they do, what they say, what they wear, except in between them in the booth, you put Vampiro.
And yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Or you
every,
put
every announcing team has a luchador in the middle.
Or you just put Pentagon Dark speaking Spanish, right? Just sitting there like
sometimes
delivering.
Speaking, or just malevolently silent the whole time. Like it'll be a surprise every time.
Just glowering and occasionally being like,
don't you want that for Greg McElroy?
I think there is an easy, like the Fox NFL broadcasts, for whatever reason, when they do booth shots, they haven't been doing straight on to the two main announcers. They've been doing side shots. So you see the researchers to the side of them, like Greg Olson's researcher. It looks like the two Hemsworths and one of them is in Thor mode. Mm-hmm. Like it's what it looks like. Greg Olson and his researcher, who they call Thor because he looks like Thor. Mm-hmm. So you can easily do this. You just take that broadcast style and slap a mask on the research guy. I think luchadors are great at research.
Yeah,
I agree. You know, they're very according to
and reptilian contacts on all of them, please.
They're very they're scrupulous. They're detail oriented.
They're born entertainers.
Mm-hmm. Detectives.
Also,
Lubbert.
I think that everyone, you know, I love the silent air of menace maybe that they provide to commentators that maybe we're not so fond of.
Also, if you have a football game with a score like 16-6, don't you want someone who can break out a shooting star press off? Throw a little bit of action into things.
You see the vision, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
MJF is your new world champ.
Yes, he is.
Due to dastardly shenanigans, as per usual.
Well, that's exactly. I don't want MJF to be champion if I don't want him to be champion if it's under fair circumstances. I want skullduggery. I want definite dastardly villainous vibes off of it. You know, don't give me that shit. Show me the most dastardly man alive. Also, I need him to get on and do exactly what he did, which is wherever he's at, he does the heel turn thing on that city, right? He's like, oh, I'm here in Charlotte. Charlotte's a beautiful city, home of Ric Flair. Woo, woo. A scumbag!
Yeah. He's so, lots of wrestlers have tried to do, like, meta shit. And he's one who actually he will come out and he'll basically say, like, I am cutting a face promo. Everyone goes along with it. And then he'll basically almost literally say, and now I am in heel mode. Everyone goes along with it. It's some of the craziest shit I've ever seen in wrestling.
It's so good. It's so good. They have so many good things going on right now. And then, like, not just the insane, like, you know, not just the insane luchador tag team where one of them feels like he has to have a special outfit, even though he's already wearing an outfit. I love that about Penta. Like, last thing about this. Pentagon.
Don't you say a bad word about my dad.
Pentagon is my favorite because Pentagon will be like, I wear a skull mask and white contacts with blue eyes in them. But for this, I think I'm going to be that, dressed up as the Joker. Or for St. Patrick's Day, he's like, I will be Irish Penta.
It's like my favorite Halloween decoration, which is a small stuffed animal bird that is dressed as a mummy that is itself dressed as a tuxedo cat.
Yes.
Yeah. So like over the mummy wrappings, it has a little cat mask and a little jacket.
It's like when Goldie dresses up for Halloween and different things. So it's a man dressed as a gopher dressing up as, you know, Freddy Krueger.
Yep. You know, speaking of Halloween, when dead things rise, when
and orange and black,
when things that we swore were gone reemerge, the Utah Utes have tied it up with Oregon.
No,
in the third quarter.
I thought we were going to Bedlam. Sorry.
Oh no!
No, that's just dead.
That's good and dead. Deadlam.
Dead lambs. Y'all
as always,
about that,
folks,
right?
Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, when they lock horns, so many things can happen. All of them involve Oklahoma winning. And that's what happened. It was 28-0, and very little happened after that. Oklahoma State, man, they started real hot. Now they're staring down the barrel of 75-7-6.
Wow, things, let's see.
Things
what
go
could,
poorly down the end.
What started all of that, by the way? I want to go ahead and loop us all
TCU.
The way back to the start. They were doing fine. Things were sensical. They were winning games. They were 5-0. And then on October 15th, they got a little bit of that blood in their eye.
They got that
mean
devil
ass.
Frog in them.
They had from to deal with TCU bullshit.
Yeah, they did. They were like, oh, here for it. Oh my God, this is a level of bullshit we've never experienced. And from that point forwards, after their first loss, it's been win over Texas, and which we all know that means nothing. And then they've been 1-3 ever since, including yes, today's loss to a crap Oklahoma team. Like, this is. It's a crap. Yeah. And I say that because I know crap teams. My crap team lost to Vandy today. They're having a crap year.
They're both 6-5. Both of these crap teams.
That's right. 6-5. Crap team. Hey.
Preseason number 9 Oklahoma did earn itself a bowl-bound t-shirt today. So
congratulations, bowl-bound Oklahoma. We hit that bowl. Listen, man. Florida hit that bowl-bound shirt, and they were like, done. Siesta.
Done.
Sometimes you just really want to go to Shreveport.
It's when you go to a concert and you say, I just want to look at the merch and then we can bail.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Florida did this year.
Sorry,
I just want a shirt.
The heart craves scenic Bosher City. That's all we want.
Oh God, that was really upsetting to hear.
It sure is.
It's very upsetting. Looking at the chat, by the way, hello again to Joel Anderson. Oh, look, we got Gojo in here. My goalie, what's going on? Late night listeners who are giving us the energy to finish this up. Did we miss anything? Have we missed anything?
Did we miss anything?
I want to note Navy and Army defeated opponents today, UCF and UConn, who are opposites in one of college football's greatest rivalries, the Civil Conflict. Navy, Army, of course, have a disagreement of their own. But it just felt a little bit noteworthy to see, you know, the sport's two greatest rivalries, Army Navy and the Civil Conflict, come together on the day. And
Jason,
Army
thank
Navy
you
prevailed.
For the extra enunciation you put on conflict to show respect to both parties.
The CT is capitalized, so you have to.
Yeah. I think if I had to note anything, I would probably note the moment in Iowa State, Texas Tech, when a Texas Tech player absolutely shoved an Iowa State player who fell theatrically down on the ground backwards to elicit the flag for unsportsmanlike, and then had a teammate come over and immediately began administering fake CPR on him.
That's... Really, really good chest compressions too, actually. They should use that in some sort of training video.
Yeah, congratulations to them on some excellent theatrics and pantomime livening up an otherwise dreary, low-scoring game between those two.
Yeah, let's see. What else was there? Oh, one of my favorite things of today was, I don't think we talked about Ohio State yet, was during Illinois-Michigan, Ohio State fans having a good laugh, laughing it up, really enjoying mm-hmm. their time. And sports fans are always like this, right? We're not big on thinking ahead to the bad things that could happen to ourselves.
Nope.
And then Ohio State found themselves having to exert effort for 4 hours to put away the mighty Maryland Terrapins. The final score is highly deceptive, folks. There is a bullshit touchdown within the final seconds. Mm-hmm. The Ohio State was in deep peril, in danger of losing this game.
I would like to shout out one particular touchdown pass by Tagovailoa the Younger, which it's just going to appear. If you want to go look at this for yourself, if ESPN has posted this, it'll show up in the box score as 2-yard touchdown pass, which is such a poor descriptor that I don't even want to try and describe the distance between the words 2-yard touchdown pass and what actually happened. Spencer, you went back and watched this one in slow-mo a couple of times. Do you want to lay it out for folks?
Yeah, this is the one where moving to his right on 4th and 7.
First of all, it's 4th down and goal.
Yeah, it's 4th and goal basically. They started at the 7, and Talia Tagovailoa gets the pass, begins rolling to his right in the manner which to me says, I will either gain 2 yards before being knocked out of bounds and there will be a turnover on downs, or I will drift right, throw the ball out of the back of the end zone, or
there's nothing happening. There's nothing there.
There's nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. And he waits until he is within the last possible 3 inches of legal turf before going out of bounds, and whips the ball to a receiver who slides not open. And it's just not open. Like, mm-mm. Dude is...
Like, triple... At least double covered, maybe triple. I'd have to go back and watch.
And, you know, people will say, oh, he threw it into a mailbox. No, no. He threw it to a mailbox. Yeah, like an actual mailbox. Threw it clean in for a touchdown. So I know.
Stealing Stetson Bennett Valor.
Yeah. Stealing. Well, he, you know, it's not anymore since he's forfeited that. He's now the milkman.
Anyway, he had a rough night at other points of the game. And of course, it didn't turn out the way we all hoped it might, but oh, Jesus, that was a beautiful play.
Running gag. I would like to cite a running gag. The running gag this season. A doomed Louisville team.
I forgot about this!
Seeking to part company with its coach that they don't really feel, and the coach who's not really feeling the program. And all that this team keeps doing is winning! Because number 24 NC State got ham blasted by the Louisville Cardinals.
Satterfield's in his office after the game, just looking down at his hands like, where are these powers come from and how can I put them back?
All I want to do is lose respectfully. Get out of here. And they just keep winning. Louisville 7-4, 4-4 in the ACC. Better record in conference than the valued and respected Dave Doran. And NC State, yeah. Yeah, that just keeps happening. A running gag that I can't get enough of. I would also like to note this, that don't look, y'all, either of you, okay? What do each of you think Penn State's record is this year? What does it feel like their record is? What do you think it is? After today.
6. 7.
I would agree with you without looking that up, Jason.
7 and because I don't know when their bye week was.
I think it's 9, but feel more like 6 or 7.
That is correct. They are 9-2, but they feel like if you had asked me 10 times, I would have been like, they won like 7 games, maybe 6.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up. They're good.
Yeah.
They were getting a run from Rutgers for a minute today. Like, once again, not in any way that was in keeping with the rest of a bunch of other teams were getting runs today, but
it ended up 55-10.
Yeah, I suppose there is that.
So looking at the computer composite, they were 7th in the country entering today, and should remain right around there. They don't feel like the 7th best team in the country.
Oh, they don't. It's so weird.
But I generally trust...
They're playing that weak Big Ten schedule.
I generally trust the computers, but...
I'm sorry, I couldn't do that with a straight face.
I'm a little skeptical this time around.
Remember when we were just...
I have additional comedy. Would you like some additional comedy?
Usually, yeah.
After beating Arkansas by a score of 21-19, in consecutive weeks, the Liberty Flames have lost to UConn 36-33. And today, to give them their third victory on the season, the Virginia Tech Hokies beat them 23-22, bringing Virginia Tech to a mighty 3-8.
Did BYU was trailing at one point today to a team that I swear to God I've never heard of. And I used to cover mid-majors for a living.
I think they changed their name.
What the fuck is Utah Tech?
I think they used to be called something else.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better.
They used to be called Dixie State.
Yeah.
Oh, it's those! Okay! Yeah. Okay, that does make a lot more sense.
Which is a name you don't want to be called. Especially if you're in fucking Utah.
Noted Confederate stronghold of Utah. Yeah.
If my redneck ass drove up to someplace in Utah and saw Dixie State, I would do the quickest U-turn peel out. Just
apparently, nope. The reasoning for it is they are from a region of the state called Utah's Dixie.
Uh-huh. No.
Which... yeah, that's not better.
Yeah.
This is the Dixie of Utah. Eject. Blow self up.
Those sleigh bells are jingling, and I am ring-ting-tingling my way the fuck out of there. I'm not even getting out of the car.
I'm drawing a gun immediately and being like, get back. I don't care who you are.
Fallout. Utah's Dixie.
Also, oh god, this is the last
now
thing
I'm just
that
picturing
I...
Dixie Kong, but no, that can't be right.
Indiana 39, Michigan State 31.
When did that happen?
Michigan State lost to Indiana.
It took overtime to get to that many points, but.
This was also weirdly presaged by, I don't know if you've noticed that the ESPN scoreboard has just been fucked up and malfunctioning in weird and entertaining ways all season. But before the game even started today, the Michigan-Indiana game said end of at the top with no numbers. So it just said end of Michigan-Indiana or end of Michigan State-Indiana. And it sure was.
Total passing yards. For Indiana's starting quarterback, Dexter Williams.
Brace yourselves against something sturdy.
2 for 7 for 31 yards.
Fucking hell.
What the fuck is this?
NFT stands for no fucking touchdowns.
they scored 39 points while completing 2 passes.
They completed 2 passes and only had 11 first downs.
All right.
What
listen,
the fuck am I looking at here?
No, I don't know.
I'll ask it. We're all thinking it. Is Michigan State a troop?
Michigan State. Well, if they're a troop, then they're from a very troubled branch of the military.
Yeah,
like
Sparta.
I said. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about the Spartan Army before.
You would think Indiana must have, like, you know, rushed their asses off, and like, they did pretty well on the ground. They only carried the ball 44 times. Like, they didn't really do offense today. Michigan State, meanwhile, hammered out 540 yards with a loss to show for it.
Exactly what we expect to see.
You might think a million turnovers were the reason. No, there was only one all day. What the fuck happened here?
I don't know. This is the weirdest box score.
I feel like
we're
trying to reconstruct a plane crash from... a black box that's just like full of snails.
There's a long kick return. Okay, there's that.
There's a blocked field goal in OT that kept things alive.
Huh.
All right. So there's a blocked field goal that sort of kept things alive.
All I'm seeing is the one kick return. And that doesn't do enough to
explain. No, that doesn't do enough to say. You completed two passes and only had 11 first downs, and you're sitting on 39 points with only one turnover. Indiana, explain yourself.
If you're an astrologer and you're in the comments, please weigh in here with your theories.
I am baffled.
Was the interception run back for a touchdown? No. There's no excuse for this.
Absolutely none. I am... Whew. Congratulations,
though.
Oh,
it looks like Indiana's like one play of the day was a long touchdown run.
Even when you add all those up together,
yeah,
I'm not sure this makes up for what we see here.
Indiana is grifting. some sort of points grift going on.
You know, that's got to be the MLM heaviest state in the union. They're selling leggings or something for points.
That's just eventually, listen, if you keep wandering around on the field, eventually you got to bump into the end zone. It's got to happen.
They're not just leggings, they're a lifestyle.
shout out Montana State. Not only did they get a lot of attention this morning, they beat the shit out of their rivals. Could enter playoff season with a number one seed. I guess we'll see. That's tomorrow, I think. And did they add to their track record of scoring points via opponent botched punt snaps? They did.
Oh, fantastic.
It happened again.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Montana State had 439 yards on the ground. 400.
While they were up 41-7, they had a tight end throw a touchdown pass. So this is that kind of a fuck you
that
day.
That kind of rivalry.
They're trying to keep warm, man.
Yeah. It was a fantastic
day. That young man exercises arms.
It was a fantastic day for the Big Sky, and not just for that. Sacramento State, the game-winning score for the Sacramento State are they the Hornets? Is that mm-hmm. The Sacramento State Hornets? The guy did a flip, like he was hit midair, and the ball carrier did a complete flip and came to a standing landing. Just
what
like
the fuck?
Yeah, no, bloop, baha. I will pay
prestige.
It was absolutely
prestige Hornets. I like it.
Yeah. It was the prestige Hornet did the flip into the end zone. So congratulations to them and all of the exciting things happening for, of course, the finest football conference in the land. I think I'm done. We're currently in action. Utah and Oregon still tied at 17. Someone's manhood will be reclaimed
repoed.
Like whatever verb we are careening into, I am not ready.
Nothing
for it.
Good is happening coming out of this sentence. No.
Let's get you out of here on this. Spencer, your boy Jake Haner, CBS Sports, during their game tonight, they're up big over Nevada.
Of course they are.
Put up a graphic. Jake Haner's weekly schedule. You ready for this?
Daily I've never been more ready for anything.
Daily post-practice arm care, chiropractor, hyperbaric chambers, laser treatments, shockwave therapy, dry needling, soft tissue work, ankle treatments / checkups, flush massage, IV therapy, and 3 hours of extra film work. I guess while you're having all these medical treatments, you might as well watch some film. The young man plays football like a person who requires that much medical treatment. So all of this makes sense.
Just to get him out there.
Artist teamwork, great artist teamwork.
I love this. They're just
it takes a village.
They're just treating him like a Jaeger, right? Like
he's kind of built like a Jaeger.
Apply the restorative oils. Prayers for the emperor. Anoint him. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm so happy to hear that. Shouts out to Jake Haner. And Fresno State, just keep our boy upright. Keep our boy upright with his nine hours.
Please keep our boy upright, People's Heisman.
Because he won't. Yeah, because he won't. He won't make any effort to do that. So you're going to have to go ahead.
Nope. He's too busy kicking ass and throwing names.
That's right.
Not interested in his personal safety. That is how you end up needing 17 different healthcare professional just to get through the like classes.
Like LeBron is looking at him going like, that's a bit much.
LeBron wishes he had this level of I don't know, needling.
LeBron was like, hey, listen, I knew Jake Haner was going to be something when I saw him play in 1998.
When I saw Jake Haner coming out of high school, I thought, man, one day that guy is going to require 35 hours per day of medical care.
Jake Haner,
just knew.
Did either of you see LeBron talking about his Madden strategy and the defenses that he called with Sean McVay? Because the Rams at one point had done some sort of defensive call, and on his podcast show thing, LeBron was like, yeah, you know,
LeBron has a podcast, he didn't need money.
Well, he was like, so yeah, you know, like they it's a show, and he's like, yeah, you know, Sean McVay must be peeking at my Madden screen. Mm-hmm. And you know, because I do that all the time. And he said that, and they flashed to Jalen Ramsey's face. Jalen Ramsey was on the set, and Jalen Ramsey's face just lit up, like with the kind of look of somebody who's just an instigator. Like, he lit up for a second.
Yeah,
he paused.
If you've seen Jalen Ramsey play football, you're aware.
Yeah. So Jalen Ramsey looks over and goes, "Well, you know how they talk about you on Twitter, LeBron. You sure? You sure that's what you call?" And everyone in the room immediately bust out laughing, including LeBron. What a wonderful moment in the bullshit.
So LeBron is aware of the LeBron
lies. Oh, LeBron is aware of the LeBron is lying on Twitter.
So
meme.
LeBron will lean into it and tell even more grainy lies.
Oh, just he's
lies.
Just gonna just lie bigger, lie bigger. You know, I knew. Listen, man. I knew that Richard Milhouse Nixon was going to be something when I saw him hooping.
That's... You got to stop complimenting Nixon. Even if you think it's a joke, it's after a while it starts to stick.
Thanks to everyone for joining us tonight on the Fullcast After Dark. Thanks to, among others, James Tyler, Morgan Moriarty. What's up?
Eastern Kentucky. Thank you, Eastern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eastern Kentucky. Hi. Thank you, Sanford. What's up, Sanford? Thank you, Big Sky, as always. Hope you enjoyed.
Thank you, Big Sky, for all the feed updates that you sent me. That's not weird. Thank you, Eastern Kentucky. Thank you, Sanford.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to, let's go way down here. Thanks to Chris Olson, Amy Lee. These are people I don't know, but you stopped by,
thanks
so thank
you.
Thanks
to Joel Anderson, number one fan of the only number one team in our hearts, at least on Channel 6, TCU Horned Frogs.
That is true. TCU, here for some bullshit. But
stop
thank you
calling
for
it bullshit, man.
It's the best.
Did they win or did they not?
They won.
It's total bullshit.
Total bullshit, but man, sports is W.
Don't look at it.
Don't look at it. It's awesome.
That's blood in their eyes. It's not protein. Don't look at it.
Good night.